Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Water into wine. The first sign Jesus did at Cana and manifested his glory. Floating around the internet last year was a video. Maybe you saw it. It was a couple of experts, one a Silicon Valley expert and one a winemaking expert. And together, they did some research and apparently developed a miracle machine that they were trying to get some investors for. It was a black device. It looked like a chimnea, had a circular device, LED light on the front. It looked very complicated and nice. And they explained in the video that this was the first accelerated winemaking device for the home. It sounded interesting. I was really kind of perplexed and said, wow. Number one, you select the kind of wine you want. Number two, you put in the ingredients, water and some concentrate. Number three, you put some settings to your phone, your app, and you wait, and then you get a notification saying it's done. You've got the kind of wine, and it matches Napa Valley, Sonoma Valley wines. Yay! Turns out, however, it was a clever hoax with a purpose. In a second video, you get an apology and the truth. It doesn't really work. It's just a piece of wood, they said. But they do have a 5-gallon bucket with a ceramic filter that can turn wine into water. The purpose of that device is to help kids and adults in third world countries where drinking water is polluted and scarce so that they can have clean water, a life-saving device. And they're probably attracting some people with investing dollars who, oh yeah, who might be able to say, hey, here's a good device that could help kids, help adults, help the world. A good charity. You can learn more at wineintowater.org. But from the lips of the men who made the video, there's only one man, as far as we know, they said, who can really turn water into wine in a hurry. But to be politically correct, perhaps, or not to cause any offense, they did not say his name. We can. It's Jesus. We heard about it in the text today. His name is a blessing, not a curse. From 6 stone water jars Jesus used, these stone water jars were used for the Jewish rites of purification. In the Greek it says baptizo, that means baptismal water. Jesus showed privately, though his hour had not yet come, that life becomes more, becomes better, becomes brighter with Jesus. He himself has something to do with water, with cleansing, with purification. Even he himself was baptized, as you might have heard last week. He's there in that water for you. He himself has something to do with the number 6. 6 stone water jars. 6. You remember what day of the week God created all living creatures? The 6th day. And in the afternoon on the 6th day is when he created man. Do you remember what day Jesus died on the cross? 6th day. The same day God created man, he died on the cross. Do you remember how many hours he hung on the cross? 6 hours. John's Gospel gives us that detail, and John's Gospel also is the one that records the wedding at Cana and the 6 stone water jars. Interesting, this number 6, the power, if you will, from the cross, those 6 hours for purification. He himself, Jesus, has something to do with wine. Here he takes water and turns it into wine. Later, he gives away wine, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Many grapes are pressed together to make one cup. So Jesus is the one man who drank the cup of God's wrath for the many, cleansing us from every sin and stain, redeeming us for God's own holy possession. So with Jesus is the wine of gladness. He takes away the cup of sadness. Jesus also shows that he himself has something to do with marriage. Here, in today's gospel, he ensured that the celebrating didn't just stop because someone forgot to buy enough wine, or some drunkard downed the supplies and maybe stole some for later, or whatever the reason. And by his act, he made the master of the feast confess, "You have saved the best for last." Unlike most of you other weddings who have the best wine first, and then when the guests have drunk freely, they bring out the two-buck chuck. Hence, we learn to discern that with Jesus, when it seems the reason to celebrate the marriage is over, the wine has run out, the celebration continues because Jesus is there. Present not only at the ceremony, but in the marriage, where it is established according to this great miracle of old, the two shall become one. What God joins together, let not man pull apart. Where there is a schism, Jesus can heal it. Where there is a lack of love, Jesus is God, and God is love. And therefore, there can be a renewed love because God is there in the marriage. Therefore, husbands, it says in Ephesians chapter 5, love your wives like Christ loved the church, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Wives, you too, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You see, the miracle teaches more than just the miracle. It teaches us there's a man behind the miracle, a man who does all things well. This man provides when our love, our faith, our good works run dry. Though these all be gone, he gives an everlasting promise that makes faith and love and good works revive, all three. And the faith that he gives saves. He is saving the best for last. He proved it at Cana. He provided it at Calvary. He will present it at the consummation, the end. For there will be a heaven, a wedding feast. Invited guests, you. The groom, Jesus. The bride, the church, that's us also. A miracle machine to turn water into wine? No. Why? None necessary. For the man behind the miracle will be there with his gifts no longer hidden but revealed for his and for your glory. But for now, as we live in a world as partakers in Christ, we can help share this good news of Jesus, share what he has done with the water, share what he does with the wine, share what he does and says about marriage, share what he has to do with the number 6. For on the 6th day, God created you, us, mankind. And on the 6th day, he died on the cross for you, for us, for mankind, resting on the 7th, rising again on the 8th, that we might live in eternity. As the hymn writer put it today, and by the way, he was a Lutheran pastor and professor in the ULC, the United Lutheran Church. He died in 2007, not that long ago, Herman G. Stempfel Jr., as we sang, come join in Cana's feast, where Christ is honored guest. He welcomes all who come to taste the wine his hands have blessed. Come, friends, and share the feast. Here drink the wine supplied by him who is both guest and host for us, the crucified. For now he lives and reigns through all eternity with Father, Spirit, three in one, the glorious Trinity. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.